This is CliffCentral.com.
Yes, good morning, everybody. I hope you're off to a good start today. It's a bright and breezy Thursday morning. It's the 3rd of August. Oh, hell, it's my brother's birthday.
Did you just remember now?
Of course I just remembered now.
Brother of the year.
That was a totally natural reaction. Well, it is 6 in the morning. I mean, I've got the whole day to wish him a happy birthday. Yeah. Plus, he's in America at the moment, so
time
no rush.
Difference works in your favor?
Yeah, I'll call him at around 4 this afternoon, and he's getting ready. He's actually in Silicon Valley.
Oh.
Yeah. He was at Stanford University and visiting some really interesting places.
I assume it's a bit of work?
Or
it is it just pleasure?
No, I think he's there entirely for work. And it sounds like a really interesting trip that he's on. So hopefully we'll, as a family, get a little report back from him. But I saw both my nephews on Tuesday night.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a very nice dinner together. They are so goddamn cute. You know... No, they really are. And you know, I'm not a big... I always talk on the show like, oh, children, children.
Yes.
These are the cutest little kids. And of course, I'm biased because I'm their uncle and they're related to me and they're in the family and I love them both to pieces. But yeah, something about those... What I love, there are two or three things about kids that I really love. Number one is you see them turning into humans. Like they start off and they're these fragile little babies. And they make these noises and they scream and they wail and they shit and all these, you know, they're pretty much, they're incapable of doing anything for the first 2 years at least and maybe more of their lives.
Yeah.
Anything useful. And then they start becoming people. They start developing personalities and they laugh at certain things and they smile at you and they react to what you say. And I mean, that's just amazing to see because you're seeing the development of a character. You're seeing the growth of a fully incorporated living organism, but with human characteristics. So
yeah.
I'm looking at it scientifically. The other thing I love about them is that you see as they grow up, they change so much. And that's interesting to watch too, because you can imagine how it must have been when you were growing up or when anyone else in your family was growing up and how you go through those stages.
How old are they again?
1 and 3. So the eldest one, Luke, turns 4 in January.
Oh.
Yeah. And I mean, this is also, you know, you get the temper tantrums and you get them screaming when their biscuit breaks or, you know, that kind of thing too, which just reminds you of how, like, unstable these personalities are at that young age. But it's just really cool to watch. And then, of course, they're just like mini people, so they're very cute from that point of view. It's like a little bunny rabbit that just never gets ugly and, you know, wiry and old. So they really are. They're just awesome. And they're obviously missing their dad because he's on this trip. But I will wish him a happy birthday later today.
Yo, isn't it technically still the second in the States?
Yeah. I've got time. Oh,
yeah,
I could be.
You're
the
in the clear.
I could
exactly.
be the first. I could. In fact, I'm going to do that right now. I'm going to pip the rest of the family. We've got this group, like every family in the world has.
I'm sure,
right? You have one too.
Yes.
Yeah. Everyone has one. A family group. So I'm going to go. Happy birthday! I'm doing this right now.
My family group is hijacked by my brother who sends endless spaniel photos.
Where is it? You said he's in.
He's in San Francisco.
Oh yeah, it's 11 minutes past 9 p.m. there right now.
Right.
Oh, so he's...
Oh,
So you're actually going to be premature, Gareth.
No, I'm going to say happy birthday our time.
Well, see you're making about yourself there.
Well, there are more of us on the group that are here.
Yeah, but it's his birthday.
If you messaged at the end of this show, it would be midnight.
Ah, shut up, you two.
But you know, on that...
I got there first.
On family...
So what, next year, on the 1st of August, you're going to...
Oh, sorry. Happy birthday for the 2nd of December this year, all right?
Damn it, you beat everyone.
Yeah. See you, happy birthday for next year.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Amanda, when is yours?
On the 1st of February.
Oh, okay. Happy birthday for next year, 1st of February.
Thanks,
all right?
Gareth.
I'm the first to wish you happy birthday.
so thoughtful.
I'm going to do this for everyone. I'm just getting, you know what I'll do? I'll just spam everyone I know and say happy birthday for the next birthday.
Or just don't say goodbye to people anymore. Just say happy birthday. And they go, what? You go, well, I'm the first.
All right. So yesterday I got a lot of feedback from people because yesterday I was in a miserable mood. And I don't think I'm alone. I think there are a lot of people in South Africa who feel very disconnected from what's going on in the country, from, you know, the absurd politics of what's happening, the fact that we all feel like we're pouring money into this endless bottomless pit that's just being pillaged by the state capture people. And we read so much bullshit online that it's unlikely that I'm the only one that feels the way that I felt yesterday. But I'm feeling much better now. And I apologize when I do these things because I'm human and I talk to you. If you listen to us, I talk to you like you're a friend of mine because that's how I think of you. And I'm honest about things and I'm open about stuff. And, you know, I'm not going to be one of those guys who comes on and pretends, hey, everybody, it's a great Thursday morning when it really isn't. So if you were pissed off with me yesterday, fine. I probably deserve it. And if it resonated with you, then maybe that's because you feel the same way. And you're not going to find the opinions that I was putting out yesterday on mainstream media, because they're all paid to entertain you, like tap dancers on a stage, and they're all a bunch of monkeys, and there is a media organization that's the organ grinder. All of them. There isn't a talk radio station in this country that's as honest as we are on Cliff Central. Or music stations, even less so. Hey, let's play a song and forget about all our shit. That's what they do. So I'm sometimes going to be like that. And I said yesterday, I did create the caveat for myself. I said, look, it might just be I woke up on the wrong side of the bed today. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So there it is. Just thought we'd throw that in there because there are going to be a lot of people who are all negative and miserable now. And I don't assume I have any effect on anyone else's mood, but it happens from time to time. So there we are. All right? Are we happy now?
Yeah, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm feeling better about the world. And you know what? I also woke up this morning and thought, you know, the smallest differences, this is the woo, Gareth coming in now, the CEO Oprah Gareth.
I'm here for this
party. The smallest differences that we can make can have major effects. Again, I'm a student of history, and the tiniest little thing somewhere by someone can have profoundly positive or negative effects for the society around them. So let's never forget, you may think you're sitting in your car this morning or you're listening to us on your phone in the gym or wherever you might be. If you do one little positive thing today, you have no idea of what potentially amazing ramifications it might have. That does sound a bit woo-woo.
But it's the truth.
But it is the truth. I've seen it happen. I've experienced it myself. Similarly, if you sit wallowing in negativity, guess what's going to come back at you? The same thing. So, I'm human like you. I'm prone to these ups and downs. Luckily for me, they're not as dramatic. And it doesn't take me long to bounce back from being down. I think it's a chemical malfunction in my brain as well. I tend to be optimistic and positive and manic a lot more than I am down. And it drives people that I work with crazy because I'm inconsistent and I'm unpredictable. But that's it. So here we are. We're sitting here this morning talking exactly the opposite game that we talked yesterday. What can I say? If you wanted someone stable, go to your therapist. You know, I'm here. God knows where. Some days I wake up, I'm like, well, this is an entertainment show. We're just here to make people laugh and make them feel better. And then I wake up and I go, no, we're here to be real. You know, let's share what we absolutely truly feel about each other and the world around us. And then some days I'm like, yeah, who gives a shit? So I'm somewhere there at the moment in that very wide set of parameters. We did something fun yesterday, and we're going to have Wada Hartley pop in a bit later on. She's looking really good after having a kid, by the way.
Mm.
It's amazing how some women bounce back and they look amazing when they've had a kid, and some women just take a little bit longer to get back into it. And that's no insult, by the way. Some girls just, like, who did we have in here the other day who said she absolutely would not take a break? Who was it? famous actress or something.
Could not take a break in terms of...
Well, she was pretty much exercising until they told her to stop with her kid.
Uh-huh.
And then her kid was born, and then straight afterwards, she started losing the weight again. It might actually be the wife of a personal trainer at my gym. She's this beautiful woman. Beautiful, like...
That's also like every high-profile celeb, because you can't... Remember when Posh Spice started knocking out kids?
Yeah, that's true.
She was... Well, she's just built like that, I guess.
Well, the...
Yeah, well, Posh Spice is Skeletor. Yeah. I mean, she's a bad example. I wouldn't want to use her as the yardstick for any of this stuff.
Allegedly, what some celeb moms do is when they go in to have kids, for example, if they have a kid through C-section, is that they also get a nipping attack there as well.
Is that what happens?
Like killing two birds with one stone. Yeah.
But I'll tell you, yesterday I really enjoyed having Cree J in here. She was fun.
Oh, so much fun.
Some guests, you just... I don't know what it was about her. She was so natural, so laid back. Very cool. And I'm very excited, Amanda, about this Bedford Wives, huh?
So am I. I think it's going to be real, you know.
By the way, it's not a reality show. It's a drama, but it's based on, obviously, the lives of all these women in Bedford View. Who knew Bedford View would ever get a show, huh?
I'm looking forward to the accents.
But, I mean, isn't that amazing? Awesome. Bedford View got a show.
I've seen a promo for it now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's very, think of, you know, a bit Desperate Housewives-y.
Do we have audio we can play?
I wonder. Let me look at it and see if it'll translate properly with just the audio. But yeah, you know, like restaurants and gunshots in the restaurants and, you know, cheating. And
it's like a Tuesday morning gunshot panini attaches.
Everything rolled up into one. So,
I think we got to watch this show, and I think we should meet the cast.
I totally agree. And Amanda, I think you should crowdfund so that The Veil has their show as well.
Well, I want to ask these people on the cast of that show how they researched their characters and whether they spent a lot of time in Bedford View and whether they know people who live there and that kind of thing. Because you got to do some research, you know. You don't just throw this thing together. All right, here are some important messages. From people. Did you see the Pottinger excuse? At best we were ignorant or negligent, something like that. Well, I'm so... this Bell Pottinger thing, I'm so furious about it. It's very hard for me to be rational and reasonable. I can't imagine a better company to fold right now. I hope they go out of business. And it seems like they're being put under enormous pressure in the UK. Rightly so, for race baiting. And there are a lot of people in the media in this country who could look in the mirror and figure out whether or not they're race baiters or not. That terrible, and now she's fired and hasn't got a job, Virashni Pillay, she should look in the mirror and think seriously about what she does for a living, because she's dragged two major media organizations through the mud because of her ideological hatred for white males. And she's really got to think carefully about what she wants to be remembered for, because that's what she's going to go down for now. Nobody loves what she's done, least of all the people who actually paid her money to do it, which is why they don't pay her anymore, and she's sitting on her backside. And currently she's embroiled in a hearing where she's accused of hate speech by AfriForum, of all people, but she's accused of hate speech, and I think she's going to have a tough time getting out of it.
I just get the impression with her is that she doesn't feel like she's ever in the wrong. Like, she can sort of work her way out of something.
Well,
super dangerous.
I once had a debate with Virashni, and it became so personal for her. You know, I could care less. I really don't care about whether or not you're a horrible person or whether you have an advantage over me or any of that. I you know, a debate is about whose ideas are better. And if you can proffer some kind of information or evidence that your debate has a lot more veracity, then you win. And I'm not going to be hurt if you win. In fact, I might incorporate your winning into my philosophy going forward so that I can improve. But, you know, she's just one example. There are people all over South Africa's media landscape, the New Age and ANN7 notwithstanding, because those are just like goofy in a cartoon. Oh, yuck. Yeah, they don't. We can't take them seriously. But I'm talking about mainstream media organizations that publish drivel The Mail and Guardian has been guilty of this, and obviously under Virashni's supervision, they were most guilty of it.
Mm.
But they haven't really gone in the right direction since. I don't know what they're worth at the moment, whether they're a going concern, whether they've got any advertising revenue coming in. I look at a lot of people in radio and in television who are just, all they do is race baiting. They're looking for, they make stuff up in order to drive a wedge into South Africa, just like Bell Pottinger. And then they'll criticize Bell Pottinger. And I'm like, but hang on, you do this. Right here at home, you do this. You look for reasons to make white and black people suspicious of each other, or men and women suspicious of each other. Or you talk about white monopoly capital. Or, you know, you're doing this stuff because you're clearly, you have an agenda. And then you have a problem with Bell Pottinger? Like, well, you're a hypocrite. So that bothers me.
Well, it's interesting that Bell Pottinger and also, oddly enough, Atul Gupta are now going public and speaking.
Well, someone says President Atul has been speaking in the media. This is on the WhatsApp line this morning. Yep. 0797482090. President Atul's been speaking in the media. Who the fuck gives a damn about what he thinks? What an asshole.
Well, he says that the leaked email suggesting that his family used links to President Jacob Zuma to win contracts and influence decisions are all fake. He did an interview with the BBC recently, and he also goes on to speak about Bell Pottinger as well, saying that his family had no role in the publicity campaign by Bell Pottinger that cast enemies of Zuma as agents of white monopoly capital. So who knows why he's even speaking out?
It would be better if Atul woke up in the morning and made this noise. Morning, guys. This is Kelly. Do you remember Kelly messaged us yesterday? She was trying to get registered at SARS.
Yep.
Oh, yes.
Day two.
So, after waiting 7.5 hours, I managed to successfully register my business with SARS. It was a long wait, but at least it's done. So, wish
seven
me luck.
7.5 well, hours.
Yeah, there we go. SARS. This is the one government department that always used to actually work and doesn't work anymore. I contacted an immigration agent. After listening to you yesterday, Gareth, I'm going through with this move. No more complaining about South Africa. Action. I'm getting out of here. I feel great. Well, there we go. If I've prompted some action, it makes you feel good. Cool. I'm not going to try and hold you here. I think you've got to move where you want to move. The world is no longer about these stupid nation states and the governments that tell us what to do. It's about you and your freedom. Some women bounce back nicely after giving birth, then some completely fall off the wagon. That's from Dutch. I can only assume Dutch is a guy, but, you know. Hey, Gareth, you really got me yesterday. This is from Lee. When I drink too much coffee, I suffer major anxiety. This unfortunately happened yesterday. I was already worried about nothing. Jeepers, then I listened to your podcast. It made me feel worse. It took me a while to feel positive again. Even Mabali would have whipped you into a bit more positivity. I love this show, Lee. Thank you, Lee. I want yesterday's Gareth, says Gavin. Every day. I loved it. From Gavin. So, you know, some people like that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I work in PR in Dubai. We recently hired an ex-Bell Pottinger director, and we give him such a hard time every day. Thanks for the updates. Well, there we go. Ooh. And Craig in Cape Town wants to know, how's your road trip planning coming along? Well, I've got a birthday at the end of this month, and I really wanted to go to North Korea. So that I wouldn't get any messages, so that I wouldn't have to deal with my birthday. I could just pretend it wasn't happening. Amanda's pulling a face like, why wouldn't you want to celebrate your birthday? Because I'm old, Amanda.
Birthdays are amazing, and I love other people's birthdays too.
So. Wait till you get old like us.
So you didn't appreciate the idea of an orchestra, a 60-piece orchestra playing Happy Birthday for you when you're
on. No, see.
Okay. All right, just wanted to clarify.
Look, I mean, go where you want, just make sure there's cake.
Yeah, luckily, my birthday's
on
a Saturday.
You just want to be fed, that's all.
Is my birthday on a Saturday this year, so you don't have to do anything?
We can
just, let me just check.
That means double the celebration.
It's on a Saturday, so nothing.
Friday and Monday, then.
That's great.
We can get sex talk in here for you.
Oh, please don't do that. Please don't do that.
John T will jump out of a cake.
Sure. Oh, that would be horrible. What a horrible birthday that would be. This is from KC. Good morning, team. I can't say I hate my job. I just hate the people I work with. Bunch of cowardly snitches.
Oh.
Snitch at work is far worse than a murderer. Yaw. Or a thief. What? You've got to tell us, KC. Please tell us what happened. That sounds fascinating. the hell happened with you? So anyway, we were at this event yesterday to launch a brand new day, B-R-A-N, new day, with Kellogg's. We're going to be meeting some of the influencers and trying to get people into healthy eating habits and getting them doing the right thing in the morning. You know, they say breakfast is the most important meal of the day.
Yeah, because you are breaking your fast and you need something to start your day. Hey, Sia?
Yes, Ben. I will go on this journey with you and take your advice.
Breakfast is amazing. I look so, it's the only thing that gets me out of bed in the morning. No, seriously, I am so excited about breakfast. The chance to eat again is just, wow.
Sia?
Yes.
You don't even eat breakfast. That's part of the problem with you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I do not understand why. I've had now a few awkward encounters with Ben particularly, because he's now taken a keen interest in trying to change this. And more so, a few weeks ago, we had a meeting and he literally like forced me to eat in front of the entire boardroom of people now just like staring down. Was it encouraged?
I encouraged you to make some good nutritional choices with the resources you had in front of you.
Encouraged seems way too mild.
Well, literally, he was complaining yesterday, and we'll have a driving update from...
Oh, no.
There's this big debate about my driving yesterday. Yeah, so we'll do that in a second.
We drove 2 kilometers with Gareth yesterday.
Yeah. And we are. And you have lucky lots, we survived.
You have lots of comments, I'm sure. Son of a bitch. But Sia was complaining how he was feeling nauseous.
I really do feel nauseous. Amanda, why are you laughing? This is a very serious matter.
But what are you about? The driving was making you sick.
Oh no, it was. I really don't know. Like, my body sort of just has these weird bursts of something or the other irregularly. So just eating in the morning sometimes gets me kind of...
You are so dramatic.
I'm not being dramatic. I genuinely feel nauseous.
Eating in the morning is something that creates anxiety.
Every human being does this. You're Piglet from Winnie the Pooh. You are so anxious. Everything creates anxiety for Sia.
But I told you guys that I actually made a concerted effort to try and have breakfast.
Yeah, but like yesterday
morning.
But yesterday was the best example.
It's like Lee who messaged us on WhatsApp. Anxious.
Lee, I get it.
Yeah.
I totally
anxiety
get it,
everywhere for Sia.
But there is no time for breakfast, I must say.
No, there isn't.
I think that there is no time.
Wake up early.
At 3 then.
Guys, you have the whole day ahead of you. If you don't have breakfast, then you're screwed. Then you're on the back foot the whole day.
I agree with
that. And then what happens? You'll eat whatever's been put in front of your closest thing, and that's obviously a bad thing for you.
Yeah, this
morning I had
bad nutrition, hot chocolate. So.
And then before you know it, you're old and you can't even touch your toes or go to the bathroom by yourself.
Okay, so this is what I like. I'm going to go on to brandnewday.co.za because that's what we're now doing over the next couple of weeks, and I'll learn from you guys. You know,
and you'll feel so much better.
Let's see.
One
week at a time.
But yesterday, the prime example, so we go to this event, right, and it was amazing because they converted a sushi restaurant into a breakfast like paradise. I was so excited. I walk in there. I want to find a seat and I want to eat.
Were smiling from ear to ear, just walking in.
Sia was like skirting the outer perimeter like there's a lion in the room.
Yeah, it was a lot to deal with. I was overwhelmed by everything.
Well, we'll talk about that a little bit later on. Let's get into a little bit of news because it is 6:30. Time for us to check in on all the important stuff. And the news is brought to you, as always, by Colcacchio Pizzeria. They're more than a pizzeria, though. It's fair to say that Colcacchio's do everything well. And I spent a bit of time with Michael, one of the founders of Colcacchio's, the last time I was in Cape Town. We had a really, really big night. We started eating, and we ended up joining a whole bunch of other people afterwards and having a few drinks. And it turned into a major party. Because this is kind of the philosophy of that business. And he and his partner who started it all those years ago... between the two of them, I mean, she was working like a 24-hour day. He was working a 24-hour day running this place. And they started 25 years ago. And look at them now. They've got branches all over the country. It's a very successful franchise. They're growing and growing and growing. And I think one of the small businesses that turned into a big business in South Africa that we should all support. We should support our own businesses. And these guys are doing amazing stuff, not only in terms of the great food that they make, but the whole vibe they create. Their app is terrific. You should download that. And you can tell from the way I talk about it, I really care about what they do. And they care about what we do. So it's mutual. It's a fun thing. And since you're a part of the family, if you listen to us, head along to Colcacchio's and support them too. Not because you have to, because it's great. That's really all there is to it. All right, let's get into some news, shall we? All right, you get the idea.
Oh,
hey, yeah. Hey.
It's a techno version. Well, CIA already mentioned that President Atul Gupta has been speaking out, and he also commented on the EFF and on Zambia.
Whoa!
Yeah, he's been talking a lot. Do you want to hear more about that, or shall we move on?
Well, sorry, that song in itself just deserves a moment. That's a little party before the news. I like that. Okay, yes.
So, new information shows a Gupta web was spun around the Minister of Public Enterprises, and they asked him, you know, about whether or not it was a trap for a target or the cocoon for an ally. The Zambian government has reacted angrily to the economic freedom fighter Julius Malema's remarks over the weekend that President Edgar Lungu is a dictator. And that's a whole different story. But then Atul Gupta claims that the leaked emails are not authentic. He says all of them are made up. Well, it seems like a lot of work. If someone has gone to the trouble of creating this enormous tranche of emails just to make you look bad, Atul, you must be important nonetheless.
And more so, why speak out now after so long if it was really not true at all? And this is an absolute, you know, core of your character criticism. Wouldn't you have stood up immediately as the smaller sort of news started to swirl around and you speak up against this? Why did it take you 40,000 years to say something?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. There's a story on News 24, which I really fail to take these things seriously, because to me it indicates that News 24 is becoming like a lot of news organizations. They are not the best at finding content anymore.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, they've got a thing called Ever Felt Like You Could Be a Doctor? Take a quiz to find out. Well, a quiz isn't going to make you a doctor.
No.
And I hate to say it, but that's a stupid way to start. If you know you want to be a doctor, you know you want to be a doctor. You don't need to take some stupid News 24 quiz to figure that one out. Plus, the quiz is going to tell you nothing except that you are interested in a subject, which you already should know, unless you're dumb as shit.
Well, at a point, I also thought I could be a doctor, up until I realized that running through the corridors, yes, in a coat, makes you look like you're wearing a superhero cape.
Right.
But then you have to deal with blood, so that didn't exactly.
And then they've got this story, but this is the one that really bugs me, because that's fine, that's just
entertainment. Is it like a BuzzFeed-ish quiz?
Yeah, it's a BuzzFeed, exactly. Yeah. They're trying to, you know, that's the area they're trying to get into, because clearly they're also at a loss. I mean, just journalism in general, they're in huge trouble. But a shout out to The Citizen, by the way, who at least, in the article about squirting orgasm last week, at least they put the link so that people could come and listen to our other podcasts. I mean, it's the least you can do if you're going to report on us is let people know where to find us,
mm-hmm.
right? At least The Citizen did that. So kudos to them. And then this is the story that irritates me. 3-year-old farm boy's incredible grasp of crops, cattle, and isiZulu. This is not a story, guys. Carter turned 3 in April and has a better grasp on farm life than many of his elders. He's 3. I'm sorry, this is ridiculous.
What kind of grasp? Is he walking next to them? Is
God's
he physically
sake. According to Carter's father, Ross, who runs a farm in KwaZulu-Natal, the affable youngster speaks isiZulu 80% of the time. He loves our staff, and our staff love him. Watch video for more. What clickbait nonsense. Should be ashamed of yourself. That's not news. 3-year-old who has grasp of a farm. Are you a news business?
Well, I get in the midst of Gupta leaks. Sometimes you need to hear that. Oh, there's a 3-year-old.
All right. Well, there's more.
Yes.
Fake employees used to get guns inside the underworld nightclub violence investigation. Now, this is always something that intrigues me, but I never really want to know the whole thing, because then it might just make me really paranoid about going anywhere at night.
Lee, block your ears now.
Yeah, Lee and Sia, block your ears. Gunmen have been involved in over 1,000 murders in the focus of South Africa's biggest ever firearms investigation. Now, that's kind of scary.
Yeah.
And I mean, I remember when I first read Mandy Wiener's book about Ken and Kebble, it made me so uncomfortable because I was like, I don't want to go out anywhere. There's not a restaurant I want to go to. I'm going to stay indoors and I need to get extra security.
Mm.
You get paranoid, you know? I suppose you can't put your head in the sand. You need to know this stuff is happening. But wow, it's deeply upsetting. Guns seized in underworld clampdown on security company previously confiscated outside of strip club. And police upping the heat on the underworld. Three more bouncers arrested. All of those stories are linked.
But that's just it, Gareth. It's becoming a bigger and bigger business because you've got the drugs and obviously you've got the sex trade and all these things that tie into each other. Like, do we still... Like, Lottie Jackson being executed, assassinated, killed. How long ago was that? That was a while. Huh?
Ages ago, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So these things are always being around, but I think now, and you'll see it in Cape Town with the battle for the underworld there, it's becoming a much bigger thing.
And on top of that, it's a subplot for Bedford Wives.
Yes, that's true. At least it's going to create some value for Bedford Wives. And most of them are probably in Bedford View right now, right, that's Amanda? It. Shaking her head, she's like, yep.
That is so true. Like, I know one dodgy character there, and no.
Well, we had East Randers, and unexpectedly yesterday was Balesa.
Mm.
There's a lot of you from the East Rand who work here, huh?
Mm.
Oh.
But I wanted to say when you were talking about Lolly Jackson, I thought I'd just throw that in there. My aunt actually used to work for him.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. So did you know him? Hey, did you call him Uncle Lolly?
What capacity? No. Also want to...
Apparently he owned like a brick company.
Oh. So she wasn't involved in the Teasers Empire.
No, okay. No. God, no.
No, we aren't here to judge. We just wanted to...
Here's a story that, you know, we brought up that Gigi Gorgeous yesterday, which got a lot of people talking.
Mm-hmm.
Same-sex couple shocked by wedding venue's refusal to host ceremony.
I heard about this. So this is a venue in the Western Cape.
Yeah. A venue in the Western Cape near Stanford has refused to allow a same-sex couple to marry on their premises, apparently because they only host heterosexual weddings. Now, I have to say that I don't understand why a gay couple would be outraged by this. And I'll tell you why. Sure, you have this dream in your head of where you want to get married, but there are lots of places in the Western Cape you can get married.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, to force yourself on this venue is not going to result in the kind of wedding you want anyway. If these people are bigots, that's their problem. They're going to run out of business. They're turning away a huge number of gay weddings by refusing to host them. It's their idea. If they're stupid enough to fight the market on this one, they'll lose. Why do you have to, like, change their minds? You're not going to. They're obviously the kind of people who don't like gay, right? Gay is not their thing. So what are you going to do? Force yourself on them, take them to court, shame them publicly. For what? You're not going to change their minds. They're probably going to be bigots forever. Isn't that a punishment enough?
I get that on paper, yes, we're all equal.
I mean, imagine forcing Jews to host. Imagine forcing Jewish people to host a neo-Nazi wedding in their premises. They don't want to. And I know that's an extreme example. But you might dislike a certain kind of person because of their philosophy, because of their background, because of their political ideology, for whatever reason. Maybe they're socialists, and you don't like socialists. Or maybe they're just peasants who want to have like one of those cowboy weddings with hay bales and shit, and you think that that's disgusting. So you don't have to host them.
It's unfortunate that we still deal with this type of like ridiculousness. But there are ways around this. Case in point, you rent every other venue around this one. You have like a, what is it, that Batman spotlight shining in the sky, and instead you just do two penises.
Yeah.
You shine it on their property.
Now you're thinking.
Just bouncing lights.
Oh, yeah. You right. Just have, you invite a gaggle of gays to your wedding as well. Sing like,
you
I'm
do a
coming
pride
out
parade
the
right past
night.
Their gate every week. Listen. I get it. You know this. I'm a major supporter of same-sex marriage. I don't have any issue with it. I'm a supporter. I think I encourage more gay people to get married because I think that the world is full, right? And I don't want another people carrier in the parking space next to me at the shopping mall taking up 1.5 parking spaces so I can't get in.
Oh, that's
you know what I mean? So when I see a gay couple, I'm thrilled. I'm like, yay, you go for it. Because the best they can do is they're going to adopt a kid, or they have to go through a major process to have one, right? Surrogate mothers and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I know the effort that they're going to go through to to have a child, and they're going to think about it carefully. Heterosexual couples are just popping out kids left, right, and center. The irresponsible ones, anyway. They're not making the world better, if you know what I mean. Not always. It's not a given.
See, you straights.
Yeah, but this
people.
Is it. See, so I'm a genuine supporter of gay marriage. I go around convincing straight people to get into gay marriages.
Oh,
just
wow.
Like it's like I actively go around telling people abortion is the way forward. I do. You know that.
Look at you,
yes,
great
I'm pro.
Advocate.
I am pro abortion. I say to people, have you ever considered an abortion? But here, I do not understand why people would be shocked, like in this story. Like a gay couple shocked that someone doesn't want them to get married. So don't support them. If you force yourself on them, you're still going to make them money. Why reward their bad behavior? Just go somewhere else. There are 100 venues in South Africa, 1,000 venues you can get married at. What are you getting at here when you try to like force yourself on these people in their business? It's like those idiots in America who they don't want to make wedding cakes for gay weddings. Mm-hmm. So don't support them. They'll go out of business eventually. And if the Christian right or fundamentalist Muslims want to support them because they're also homophobic, so what? There's room on earth for all of us. And you don't have to change everyone's mind because guess what? You're not going to. So just prove you're better than them. Support the businesses that support you.
Right. Well, in other news, the ZANU PF website was hacked.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
And animated movies like Despicable Me and Cars 3 were shown under the banners. Plus, pornographic images.
Oh, no.
But because nobody goes to the ZANU PF website, it wasn't really detected until hours much, much, much later.
Yeah, I can imagine. It's not one of the biggest sites in the world.
Yeah, and Bob Mugabe himself is saying that he's going nowhere because the doctors just told him his organs are all fine.
Okay, well, that's good news. Let's give him a round of applause.
Still with Zimbabwe, it appears that there could actually be a syndicate who are using donkeys to get cars over the border.
Oh.
Now, there's been a couple of isolated incidents.
Using donkeys to get cars.
Yeah, so whether they pull the car.
So, obviously, when you're driving over the Bight Bridge border post or whatever it is, there's, you know, that's where car criminals perhaps get caught. So what they're doing is they're finding opportune areas and riverbeds, and they're strapping donkeys to these cars, and then the donkeys try to pull them through. It isn't the best plan, though, because sometimes there's water in the river, sometimes there's too much sand. So
sure. So
Fakile's team, I've sometimes pulled cars out of, like, dry riverbeds.
Oh, God. That's so unfortunate.
But it's so unfortunate for the donkeys because they haven't made any arrests here because the people scuttle off into the bushes. But these poor donkeys are then left just standing there.
Dreadful.
Essentially as accessories to crime.
Well, Ben, since you've gone into news, I think you should just carry on in the sport. Let's see what's going on with Ben's sport. Da, 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 de, 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 de. Take it away, Karpinski.
Right, so we've got a very good sporting weekend ahead. Today is Thursday, so you've got, well, just one more day of work and then basically just dot the I's and cross the T's tomorrow. Rugby-wise, of course, the big game, 4 o'clock Saturday. The Lions hosting the Crusaders. Now, Yaku Paper has been given the...
Who's this?
The ref. He's been given the match for Saturday, right?
Oh.
So there's outrage from all sorts of saying he's not a very good ref.
Is he controversial?
I don't know. Like, I think rugby refs, they're in high profile, high stress, high drama situations. Sometimes they get it right, sometimes they get it wrong. Ultimately, these things balance out, right? But because many people just drink when they're watching rugby, or it's their only outlet in life where they can feel like they're in charge, they're very opinionated about these things. Mm. So people are saying, well, why isn't it a neutral ref? Why must there be a ref from South Africa or New Zealand? But it turns out, and from what my sources have revealed, is that the Crusaders are asked, who do you think was the best ref this tournament, right? The Lions are asked, who do you think was the best ref this tournament? And who came up? Saturday's ref.
Oh, wow. So the teams themselves
have said this man is the right man for the job. Jake White, who will basically throw an opinion to anybody who wants it, says, how on earth could we not have a neutral ref? But think about it, and I've said this many times before, this is a professional endeavor, right, being a referee. He's not just, like, running around with his kids in the park. This guy's job is a professional ref, right? So the nationality of teams should not matter the slightest. I mean, this is just childish. South African ref can't be matches a ref for a South African team.
You've already said it. There are two kinds of people who complain about the referee. The first kind are the ones who have nothing going on in their lives, and the other ones are the ones who are
drinking.
Yeah,
heavily. So I'm not saying Jack White's either of those. Just in case you want to jump to any of those. All I'm saying is that a referee, just like a rugby player, just like a person who reads the sport, are professionals, right? Professionals. I did none of those. I don't read the sport. And no, so
you make it up.
So they should be trusted with the job at hand. So leave the guy alone. Rugby is about 30 rugby players on the field. The ref is a part of that, I know. And because of TV and replays, he's maybe a bigger part than he should be. But give the guy a break. He's trying his best. And he can't always, you know, it's a judgment call in the day. And in front of 60,000 people, good on this dude for being able to do it in the first place.
Yes, that's nerve-wracking stuff.
Exactly. And there's people at Ellis Park. I mean, they spend most of their life shouting at each other. So it's going to be very difficult for Yoku Paper, but hey, he is the guy. I reckon the Lions are the favourites for this weekend. The bookies have the Crusaders slightly ahead. But just quickly, I don't know, I might go into this more tomorrow if we've got time. But look at the two contrasting seasons we've got here, right? The Lions have actually been relatively fresh. They've played mostly cuck opposition, which many people say was going to hinder their chances in the playoffs. But they're getting stronger through the playoffs, right? Look at the Crusaders. They've tried to had this whole unbeaten record. They've played the toughest teams going. They even played the British and Irish Lions. Their stars had a very tough international window, very little break. These guys are going to be knackered. They've been playing in floods and plagues and all kinds of things the last 2 weeks. Plus, they've got to fly here from Christ Jesus. So it is.
You mean Christ Church?
Yeah, that's the one.
Right.
Oh. So it is not exactly easy. I know Kieran Reid's the captain and he's incredible and he shoots fire out of his ass, but the Lions are going to be pretty fresh. They're playing for their coach who's just about to leave, and they're going to play for Warren Whiteley. He'll be on the sidelines, all inspirational and stuff. So I'm going to go on various levels. The Lions are the favorites for this one, and I will say they'll win by six. That's what's going to happen. So the big talk around the football world is, of course, money. Oh, I hate these nouveau riche sports. It's all about the cash. It's all about the flash. Well, Neymar, right? He is going to go to PSG, but all counts. I mean, all the stories add up. It hasn't been official. Nothing's official in transfer markets.
Right.
But the stories go out anyway. So there's a buyout clause for all these big players, right? You sign these big contracts, and then, well, if you want another team wants them, then they're going to go, well, you got to pay his buyout. 222 million euros is what PSG needs to pay.
Wow.
And Barcelona, like asshole fathers, have gone, you must pay full up front. It's like the worst footballer negotiation ever. They want Neymar for $222 million. That's what they're going to release him for. That is 3.4 billion rand, right? 3.4 billion rand. That is more than double what United paid for Paul Pogba, which everyone was like, oh, that is outrageous. How can someone cost that much money? Well, more than double. Pogba is like, it's like a guy in a vest at the moment.
Ben's just jinxed the Lions, says somebody. Thank you, Ben. Thank you.
Yeah, fair enough. So what does Neymar stand to earn out of all of this? He can earn, well, he will earn 865,000 euros a week going to PSG to play there. That is 13.5 million rand a week to be a footballer.
A lot of money.
Mother of mercy.
Which yeah, come on, see, I'm going to play football.
Translates to roughly, he'll be making around 700 million rand a year to be a PSG player.
Nice.
So, I mean, good for him. But, I mean, look, I'm no socialist. I really am not. But this is just too much money. This is outrageous that one man should have to earn this much money about being a footballer. It's just crazy. It's out of control. And where do you go from here? FIFA were dicking around with some sort of fair ethic play something rather transfer, because if big clubs can pay this much money, then how are the smaller clubs going to ever compete with these guys? It's never going to happen. So they're going to have middle of the road players all the time, middle of the road seasons, and then all we'll ever see is three or four teams that could only ever make the Champions League final,
right,
or certain teams. I mean, PSG, there's a good chance that they're going to now play and just win the French title forever now, because Monaco might sell their best player out there. Anyway, you see where I'm going with this. It's just making a bit of a monopoly, and it's just not fair. I think it's stupid, and football has lost the plot. 222 million euros for a 24 or 25-year-old Brazilian guy with a hairstyle who isn't as good as Ronaldo.
Sure.
I don't mean to be disparaging.
Very damning. Very damning.
Yeah. It's just pulling the piss, guys. It's really pulling the piss. Kjell Jonnevret, you know who he is?
No, but I saw that name just now, and I thought it was made up.
Real name, Gareth.
Who is that?
Swedish man. He took over from Mission Ettergal at Pirates.
Oh.
And he lasted 6 months. So, you know, in this country, everyone just kind of has to get fired after they go and get, like, prosecuted. Well, in local PSL football, so horrible are the conditions to work in that these guys actually resign.
They just get out of there.
So, Sean, I mean, look, Pirates is just a disaster right now. From that Sundowns incident where they just try to break everything to the fact that they finished 11th in the PSL last year, 11th with the resources they have.
Right.
Jean Effet was brought in and 6 months. He said, look, guys, it's been fun, but I'm not about this life. And Irvin Corso then said, I wish you all the best for your future endeavors. So, so sad. Sure. So where do Pirates go from here? Nobody wants to manage this team. It doesn't feel like the players want to ever play for this team either. Very, very horrible situation. There is cricket from tomorrow. It is the fourth and final test of the South African series of England. Now, this has been a very, very long series. These guys got there in May. Some of them are into their third girlfriends by now. It's just been so long on the road. Oh. Now, Old Trafford, which I think is Edgbaston. Anyway, not important. Manchester. They're playing in Manchester this week, which of course means it will piss down with rain. Rain expected on days 1, 2 and 4. Which is a shame, because I thought after the series that's been completely bipolar result-wise, this might be the test where things could even up. Vern Philander is back on solids, school-wise that is, and it's just going to look like it could promise to be a great test, but the rain's going to dampen it, and well, take it from there. Athletics, I told you I'll give you a blow-by-blow account, and I shall as it happens. Just to give you an idea of who's going to be in action from a South African perspective this weekend, Luvo Mayonga will be in the long jump. So Friday, 8 o'clock, will be the first time you can see him. All that'll right. be in the qualifiers. And then on Saturday, you'll see him in the finals. That'll be at 9:05 South African time. Kasa Semenya, she'll be running the 1500-meter heats Friday, 8:35. You can then see her again in the semifinals Saturday, 8:35, same time. Then Akani Simbine. I know we have lots of sprinters that are in contention, in action here, but we'll just focus on our main guys for time purposes. Friday, 100-meter heats, they'll be from 9:20 Friday night. And then the finals, the semis will then take place Saturday about 8:05. The finals for the 100-meters, where Akani will hopefully be next to Bolt, will be 10:45 South African time. This is Usain Bolt's final 100-meter sprint. And then Wade van Niekerk, he'll be going in the 400-meter heats Saturday at 11:45. Then the semifinals on Sunday at 8:40. Haven't got time for the golf, but that'll be a big one, which we'll talk about tomorrow. It's a WGC Bridgestone Invitational at the Firestone Country Club, where Rory McIlroy has a new caddy, and Dustin Johnson, I guess, might be the favorite there.
All right, thank you very much, Ben. Let's get to Anthea and see what's going on there.
Why, baby, let's touch a letter. Anthea.
Hey, Anthea, good morning.
Yes.
Good morning, Gareth. Was that you or Sia doing the background vocals?
Me. I'm backing vocals.
Very good.
All right.
Okay, so firstly, thanks to Apple, the Dow Jones closed above 22,000 for the first time last night.
Holy hell.
A lot of excitement going on. I mean, of course, there are people questioning whether this is the time to sell it. I mean, I guess the only thing I would say is that there are still earnings coming through. And, well, the earnings look good. You know, last night Tesla reported, actually. And while I'm talking about it, I'll just quickly go through it. They reported their second quarter earnings revenue of $2.8 billion, but a loss of $2.04 per share. So obviously costs are still huge. I mean, I think Musk was saying that their gross margins on the Model 3 are expected to turn positive in the fourth quarter of this year, which I think is fantastic, actually. And then he's looking at a 25% gross margin on the Model 3 in next year. Uh-huh. He spent $1 billion last quarter to support
billions and billions. I mean, I just love the way we talk about this number like it's nothing. It's a huge amount of money.
Yeah, it's not. It's a decent amount of money. You know, Tesla's cash pile is now down to $3 billion. That's terrible.
Oh, poor them.
But listen, if they're spending $1 billion a quarter, then that only gives them three quarters of cash. Apparently, so he's now getting 1,000.
What are they spending this on? Is it research and development? Is it manufacturing? Is it setting up operations? I mean, can they justify spending as much as they are?
So I would say research and development probably is a huge chunk of it, because Obviously, when the product is new, that's what goes into it. But also, it's now on production, which is good, because production, you can get your money back when you sell, right? And so they've got 1,800 orders of the Model 3 per day, he says they're getting. That's $90 million per day if, here's the question, if he can produce that many cars.
Wow.
So apparently he now has 455,000 orders for the Model 3, and on average they're about $50,000 a car. So that is $22 billion in revenue if he can produce that many cars.
Well, now's the test, right?
Mm-hmm, exactly. It is absolutely kind of the time, you know, for him to prove himself.
Would you buy into Tesla now, or would you wait to see what they deliver?
Wow, that's such a difficult one, because the share is so expensive. I'm not sure what – well, I mean, no, I can easily figure it out, right? Look, they're making a loss per share, so it's on an almost infinite price-earnings ratio. I'm going to wait, eh?
All right.
I'm going to stay away from it for a while. There's no reason. I reckon there will be a time to buy the share. It's more of a sentiment purchase, because you kind of feel like it's Elon Musk. He's doing so much. He's great, blah, blah, blah. But from a fundamental point of view, a share that's making a loss is a hard pull to swallow.
Okay.
And then in our market was down about 0.5% yesterday, even though the Rand was quite a bit weaker. The resource sector came under quite a bit of pressure, because spot metal prices were under pressure globally. Oil kind of held steady through the day. Brent crude is now trading at about $52 a barrel. And that's interesting, because it's despite Libyan data showing that shipping numbers were the highest in 3 months, and a report that Nigeria had increased production. So, I mean, this is not great for us. You know, we want, as South Africans, a lower oil price, because we want the petrol price to come down. Hey, didn't petrol go up yesterday?
It did.
It did, eh? Mm. Yeah. So that doesn't help our cause. You know, we want the lower oil price. I saw an interesting article yesterday that highlighted the yields on bonds of Venezuelan state-owned oil companies were now as high as 150%. I mean, that's not even junk status. That's just default, right? Because basically, if you're a Venezuelan state-owned oil company, what that means is that you're paying 150% on your debt. I mean, nobody can afford
That'll put you out of business really quickly.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, I mean, like, Venezuela has some real issues at the moment. I can't imagine that they're not going to default.
Oof. Ugly.
And bad for emerging markets, you know, because it's just a bad sentiment, really. Horrible odor around it. And we'll definitely see the brunt of that if we're not careful. Well, even if we are careful, I think you're bound to get some repercussions in the emerging market space. And then locally, Nedbank reported a fairly disappointing set of interim results. They managed to grow their top line growth, but diluted headline earnings per share was down by 3.7%. They also managed a 7% increase in their dividend, so they're now paying R6.10 per share. And you know, for banks, it's all about the numbers. So return on equity declined to 14% from 14.6% last year. I mean, and just to put that in perspective, you know, probably the top bank in our space is First Rand, and they're closer to a return of 20% on equity. So, like, quite a big discrepancy between the top and bottom. And then their credit impairments declined by 28%, which means their credit loss ratio, which is a big thing, you know, in the consumer space, and especially where we are now, one of the things the banks really need to worry about is consumers not being able to repay their loans.
Yes.
And so that was great for Nedbank. But a bit of mathematics again, because actually they released a 442 million rand provision. And if you add that back, then impairments were actually down by 8%. So, you know, it's like, what can I say about that? It really is just mathematics to kind of help shore up the share price. And then I explained JAWS to you on Monday,
yes,
which is the cost to income ratio. And for Nedbank, that increased to 56.5% from 55.6% in the same period last year. So that you don't want your cost increasing faster than your income. You know, it's
well, we've said for a long time. We've said for a long time, Nedbank is the bank that we would least likely want to buy at this point.
I think we have, haven't we? Yeah, because we have, others kind of. First Rand was always a good bank from a fundamental point of view. Perfectly priced, though, not cheap. Whereas Barclays is probably really cheap, and then we were waiting for the PLC transaction to happen, which has now happened. And then Standard Bank are kind of getting out of the African dramas that they had in the last couple of years, and they've spent so much on IT, they're probably likely to bounce back. So, yes, you're right, Nathan, now, probably.
One of those shares that I just learned to begrudgingly leave alone and not ask you about as often as I want to is Brait, and they issued some kind of an instruction the other day where shareholders would be able to purchase more shares or take some kind of a I don't know how to work it out. Do you know what it is? Can you explain that to us?
I got the email as well. So you can either choose, they're paying out a dividend. Basically, you can either take the cash or you can get more shares. And actually, I haven't done the calculation yet. I'll do that. When is that due, by the way? I think it's
today.
Oh, is it today?
Yeah.
Oh, then I better go and do that calculation very quickly. I can't answer your question immediately. I will go and do the calculation whether it's cheaper to take shares or to take cash. Because, of course, you know, if you take cash, there's also the 20% dividend withholding tax now that you'll have to. I know, right? Anyway, what can we do? Really? Tax.
God damn this. Parasites have got their claws into everything they possibly could.
Yeah, I'm afraid so.
Right.
And then just the last thing, Astral Foods was under pressure yesterday. They released a SENS announcement saying that there was another outbreak of bird flu, and this time in their Standerton, hatchery. So, you know, difficult again to quantify the impact that it's going to have on the share price, I mean on their revenue or their profit. But the share was down 3% yesterday, so obviously it's going to have an impact on that share.
All right, Anthea, thank you very much.
And, of course, the production and supply of chicken. My pleasure, Gareth.
Cool. We'll chat to you tomorrow.
Okay, bye.
Very good. Anthea Gardner and the Money Shot. You ready for a nice day today? Well, if you are ready for a nice day, we'll try to provide it. Isn't that what we do, Ben? Huh? That's how we try to be useful to people.
Each and every time, Gareth.
Right, Sia, that's okay. Uh-huh. Where are we trying to go?
On a Gora to Friday. Gora
yeah.
to.
Oh, guess what? Justice Malala, he's letting us down again today, but we will have him tomorrow, he's assured us. So for those who have been waiting patiently, trust me, I was excited this morning to hear what's going on in the Burning Platform, which is brought to you by Nando's, but Mr. Malala is not available this morning. Where is he? He's on his way to Sun City.
Sun City, yeah.
Jeez. I'm telling you, it's a hit.
Ben. No, we aren't having this.
Ben's right.
Gareth,
don't tell me
you're now going, oh,
I'm with him. There's something going on here.
Oh, Lord. Next thing, you will not be supporting Will Smith now.
I'm telling you. There's something going on. One theory at a time. Look, the Will Smith thing's a whole different story.
Okay.
But in this case, I am absolutely convinced there's something dodgy going on with Justice. We'll get to the bottom of this eventually. All right, it's 7:05.
This is CliffCentral.com.